Well, welcome to St. Mary and St. Ainsworth Church in Folkestone for our Sunday morning service on this fifth Sunday in Lent. We're not allowed to worship in the church itself, which you can see behind me. We have to worship in our homes. But I hope that you will find something in this service inspiring for you today. We're going to start by listening to a Lent prose. Hear us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against thee.
Hear us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against thee.
To thee, Redeemer, thy throne of glory, lift we our weeping eyes in holy pleadings. Listen, O Jesu, to our supplications.
Hear us, O Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Let us come to the Lord, who is full of compassion, and acknowledge our transgressions in penitence and faith. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, We have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from my graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. A certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had not been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. I'm looking at the number of people who have died from coronavirus today. This is a Saturday when I'm recording this, and it's 1,019 patients so far in the UK. And 260 people died just in the last 24 hours. I mean, people are scared. People are afraid of sickness and of dying. I went to the supermarket yesterday to get some essential supplies. And, you know, for the first time ever, I actually felt scared going up that escalator and into the supermarket. As people came just too close to me, I wondered, would they cough? And I felt I wanted to really keep away from people and get back as soon as I possibly could. We're in a situation where for most of us, we have kind of assumed we'll stay well and we'll die of old age eventually. We haven't had this kind of terror before. But you know, in Jesus' day, the average life expectancy was just 28 years and 3 months. We know this because of the Jewish epitaphs from that era that have been studied by archaeologists. And if you take the average of the evidence that we have, it's just 28. So someone who's in their early 60s like me is like a very, very, very old man in those days. And somebody like Anna, who was in the temple, 84, are like unimaginably old. And so in those days, people were living with this kind of terror all the time. All the time they were expecting death might just be around the corner, that the illness that might carry off might just come. And so Jesus in the Gospels is speaking into an era and a situation just like ours. People terrified, people always expecting that the worst might happen. And so Jesus' priorities really fit with our time. In fact, they're spoken into and designed for a time like this. They're not just for nice times, it's for times like this, Jesus' priorities. And if we understand what his priorities are, they will help us to be his people during this time. And there are two main priorities that we have in the Gospels. All four Gospels attest to this. First of all, there's a priority to repent. He comes and says, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. And repent, the Greek word that's translated repent is the Greek word metanoia, which is like a conflation. It's like fitting together two different Greek words, the word meta, which actually, with
in this kind of context, when it's bolted onto another word like that, it has the sense of change. It's something that's changing into something else. And then noia comes from the Greek word nous, which means mind. And we sometimes use that, use your nous. That's the Greek word for mind. That's nous, use your nous. And so metanoia means to change your mind. And so in asking us to repent, he's saying, look, stop thinking the way that everyone else is thinking. Stop acting the way everyone else is acting. See things from my point of view. See things through my lenses. Change your mind. See things the way I see it. And that's very, very different. And it means that when you do that, of course, when you repent in that sense, when you change your mind, when you change your priorities to God's priorities, then what that means is that you begin to see that the way that you've been, it is not God's way. And that needs to change. It's not so much sort of like sorrow and weeping over your sins. It's more to see that the way that you've been living is wrong, and change has to happen. And he comes to change our minds. And then the second priority in the Gospels is to believe. He says, come and believe. So repent and believe in the good news. And there's good news here for people who are so vulnerable, whose life expectancy is on average only 28. And if the oldest one's 84, then the youngest ones are dying real, real young. No, believe, repent and believe the good news. In our gospel reading, we've got the good news right here. Listen, when he's talking, first of all, to Martha, he says here in John chapter 11 and verse 25, he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And that's really, really important to hear. He knows that people are expecting to die. And yet he's saying that real life isn't actually tied up entirely with the life of our body, that it's there, but that life continues because he is the life. He's saying, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And of course, what that does, if you do believe this and you experience metanoia, the changing of your mind so that this is the way that you see, and if you believe that that really is the good news and that's really at the heart of how you see things, then of course what that does is, like it did with Jesus, it takes away fear. It takes away the way that we act out of fear, and especially it means that we can live without the kind of the selfishness and cruelty that come when people are terribly, terribly afraid and try to save themselves. And like Jesus, it means that we can begin to live differently. That even though there's all of this going around, and physically, of course, we are all in danger, it means that we don't have to live from being afraid. It means that, like Jesus, we can notice others and have compassion on them. You notice, in the gospel reading, how Jesus is moved with compassion at people's grief and suffering. He knows what's coming to him. It's not very long before he's going to be crucified. But here he is caught up in the grief and the sorrow of others. Shortest verse in the Bible here in chapter 11, in verse 35, Jesus wept. And it also means that like Jesus, we can begin to perhaps bring healing and understanding to others rather than just being caught up in our own stuff. And he does that here. If we take the three main characters here, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we see that he meets their needs in different ways. Now, obviously, the most spectacular healing, of course, is Lazarus. I mean, raising him from the dead is perhaps not something that we might be able to do. But look at the different ways in which he also brings healing and understanding to Martha and Mary. I don't know if you noticed, but both Martha and Mary ask him exactly the same question. They both have all, well, it's not so much a question, it's an accusation, really. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that's exactly what Mary says a few verses later. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They knew. And they were questioning him. They said, why aren't you here? And the interesting thing is that Jesus speaks to them both very, very, very differently. Now, Martha, who has intellectual questions about the resurrection, to Martha, she's got these questions that she's very thoughtful about, that Jesus gives thoughtful and intellectual answers. He answers her questions in matters of fact. He says, he talks about the resurrection because that's what she needs. And so he explains and teaches. But Mary isn't like that. She doesn't ask those questions. She just weeps. Jesus sees her weeping. And so as she's caught up in all of that emotion, he doesn't try to give her those theological answers at all. He just weeps alongside her. He stands with her and shares her pain. Do that too. We may be, like some of our heroes on the front line of the NHS, able to actually bring physical healing to people. Or it might be that people that we meet might have some intellectual answers, some worries, and we might be able to take scripture and begin to give some explanation, some teaching about that. Or it might just be that when people are feeling so low and scared, they just need somebody to be able to weep with them, to stand with them, and to assure them of love and God's closeness. Do you notice that Jesus, living in this context of people being afraid and facing death all the time, and he's not afraid, he is free to enjoy all kinds of things, the beauty of the world, the flowers of the field, the birds of the air, and food and drink, and to be thankful for it. And we know, don't we, that in his encounters with Martha and Mary and some of the other Gospels, he's often there, and with his disciples, sharing food and drink with them and the good things that bring us pleasure in life. Without the anxiety, these things can be enjoyed because they're given to us for living and to enhance the beauty of living now. And it's also clear from the way that Jesus lived and acts that friendship is really important to him. He says famously later on in the Gospel of John to his disciples, I no longer call you disciples, I call you my friends. And here in the in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, we see that. The sisters send word to Jesus because he's not around, and they say, Lord, the one you love is ill. And there are, I don't know if you know, but there are four different Greek words which are translated love into English. And this one particularly means the love of friendship. This is friendship. He says, the one that you love as a friend is ill. And he says to the disciples, when he says, right, let's go to their home, he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Friendship's really important to him. And Martha and Mary and Lazarus are his friends. He spends time with them. And he loves them. Because love, of course, is really important to Jesus as well. And it does say in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And this is not the Greek word for friendship. This is the Greek word for love. This is the kind of love which we have in our hearts for people where it's just overwhelming, you know. It's the kind of love where you feel so committed to them and so much part of their life. You would do anything for them. You have known that kind of love from others, and you know that you feel that way about some people. And this is the way that Jesus felt about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. When we repent, when we experience metanoia and begin to see things the way that Jesus wants us to see things, and when we believe, when we have faith in what he's saying about him being the resurrection and the life, and when that fear, that fearfulness about the ending of this physical life is taken from us, then we can begin to really live, and we can begin to experience the life that Jesus has inside of us. And it means that, like him, we can know compassion for others, and we can bring healing and understanding to them. We can enjoy the beautiful and lovely things of life with a clear conscience. And we can cultivate friendships and make sure that they are privileged in our life and in our time. And we can give ourselves to love, to really know love. All of these things are very, very clearly Jesus' priorities in his life. And he's saying that he's putting his life in us. These things are the business of life, aren't they? Compassion and healing and understanding and enjoyment and friendship and love. These are the things which we are to give ourselves to, especially in this time of fear, when so many people are dying and are ill. To be able to celebrate life like this is not a selfishness. It's a spreading of the life of Christ while we still can. And if Jesus is life, this spiritual life that we have now will never end. And so now's the time to live it. All the more in times like this.
So Father John has asked me to say a few words about a piece of music I'd like to choose for our virtual service. And the piece of music is O Saviour of the World by John Goss. It's a piece that we were going to be doing with the choir this very Sunday, in fact. Composed in the late 19th century. And interestingly, it featured on the first ever gramophone record made by the Cathedral Choir in the late 1920s. So the officer rated it very much. The words, I think, are fitting not just for the Passiontide season, but for the present time. And they go, O Saviour of the world, who by thy cross and precious blood has redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly beseech thee, O Lord.
we declare our faith in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father.
Let us pray to God, whose word is the word of life. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, raise our vision and centre it on your eternity. Give us the trust to follow you in faith. Breathe into your church the vitality of your spirit as we endeavour to become a new kind of church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, look with compassion on our world. Make the dry bones of political intrigue be resurrected in a new light, that all may dance in your freedom. Loose the bonds of corruption, and set free all that enhances godly living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, help us to be more observant of the world around us. There is suffering and hardship, pain and sacrifice, fear and panic. We pray for all people affected by the coronavirus pandemic throughout the world, those who are sick and those who are caring for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, as we come to terms with our restricted way of life, help us to find new ways to draw together as a community and reach out to the lonely and those who are finding life difficult at this time. Keep us faithful to you and to one another, even when the way forward is not clear to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, we ask for your blessings and healing for all those who are sick in mind, body or spirit, remembering especially Irene, Alan and Andrew Birch, Jean Anderson, Anne Jarrett, Sheila Blundell and Vix. Give them grace and comfort in their recovery and the assurance of your promises of hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, our resurrection and our life, you restore life where it has been lost. We fondly remember those who have died and are now in a closer presence with you, especially Terence Tumber, Marion Cole, and those whose anniversaries fall at this time, Ron Davey, Ivy Brewster, and Diana Giles Dutoit. May the grief of mourners and the memories of friends bring solace and comfort. We pray in the name of Christ, the resurrection and the life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline we may grow in grace, and then to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world, and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy, and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave it thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so, Father, call to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice, made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share, all who would share, all who share by faith in this one bread and one cup. So that we, in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Elizabeth and all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ, by whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we also do for you. Give us the will to be the servant of others, as you were the servant of all, and gave up your life and died for us, but are alive and reign now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And now, Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.